Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. I would like for us to read from Jeremiah chapter 6. We began looking today earlier at the book of Jeremiah, and specifically looking at the prophet Jeremiah. There are a lot of different prophets, especially mentioned in the Old Testament. There are true prophets, and then there are false prophets. There are prophets that try to get the people of God to follow God, serve God, and love God. And then there are prophets that try to please the people. And they want to be the friends of the people, and their goal is to be highly thought of by the people. That's true in the Old and the New Testament. There are people that want to please God, and then there are those who want to please men. There are those who serve God, and then there are those who serve men. There's a dark, very specific contrast between those who love God, fear God, and serve God, and those that really do not love God, fear God, and serve God, and they're against the Word of God, and they're against the truth of God. They love a lie rather than the truth. And they will tell people whatever they want to hear in order to be their friend. And those false prophets that desire to be the friends of people instead of being the friend of God, and the Word of God makes it plain that if you're a friend of the world, then you're an enemy of God. That's the way people like Hananiah, who was a prophet that was, he was teaching the people a lie. He was teaching the people to rebel against God. And the Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And the Word of God makes it plain that those that rebel against God and those that teach others to rebel against God, God's judgments will come on them very severely. So we're looking at two different categories of people. One is those that love God, fear God, and try to serve the Lord, and love His Word, and love the truth, and try to get others to follow the Word of God. And then those, on the other hand, that do not love God, they do not fear God, and they're not trying to serve the Lord, and they prefer that people walk the broad way rather than the straight and narrow way. Jeremiah chapter 6, the Word of God speaks about the ungodly prophets in verse 14. Jeremiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 14, God, through Jeremiah, God says, "They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly." Now, the reason the people were hurt is because Jeremiah and others had offended them by telling them what was wrong in their lives. So they were hurt by the truth of God's Word. And then the false prophets came along and they tried to appease them and heal them and make them feel better. "They healed the daughter of my people slightly, saying, 'Peace, peace.'" That is, it's all right. Don't you worry about what Jeremiah said. Everything is all right. God loves you and I love you, and this is just going to be one big happy world. They heal the hurt of my daughter slightly, saying, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Now, the next two or three passages of Scripture that we're going to be looking at, where Jeremiah is speaking to the people, we're going to be looking at two or three of the specific things that Jeremiah, by inspiration of God, Jeremiah was telling the people some things they need to do. Now, he had already identified a lot of the sin that was in their lives, things that they needed to stop doing, things that they needed to turn away from. They needed to stop being backsliders, and they needed to return unto the Lord. Now he not only begins to tell them about the sin, but he begins to tell them, now here are some things you should do. And here's the first thing that I want to mention. In verse 16, he says, the people were to ask for the old paths. And brethren, I would encourage every one of you that you would ask for the old paths. I would encourage you to get some of the most spiritual older people that you know, and ask them, what are the old paths that are taught in God's Word? What are some ways that we have gone away from God and His Word? What are some ways that you can see that we're walking much differently today than what the Word of God says? So go to them. But more importantly than going to old people and asking them what are the old paths is that you go to God and go to God's Word, because that's the old paths that we're really looking for, is the old paths that are set forth in the Word of God. Go to God and ask God, what are the old paths? And teach us the old paths. Teach us thy way, O Lord. Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? That's a promise that God gave. Jeremiah told them, if you'll ask for the old paths, and then you'll walk in those old paths, you will find rest for your souls. You know, the number one problem in the lives of God's people today is they do not have rest, and they don't have peace in their souls. And so it is that you, if you'll walk in those old paths that God has given to us, you will find rest for your souls. You'll find righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost if you'll walk in the old paths. Doesn't do any good to know the old paths if you don't walk therein. The rest of verse 16 says, but they said, we will not walk therein. You hear the rebellion? Do you know why they were rebellious? It's because they were getting instruction and support from false prophets that were saying, you don't have to do that. That's not God's way. And they began to appease the people. So there's a major difference in the messages that were going out in the days of Jeremiah. There was truth and there was error. There were lies that were being told to the people. So they told Jeremiah, we will not walk in those old paths. We will not walk in those ways. They refused, they rebelled to follow God and the Word of God and the truth of God's Word. We will not, and I want you to remember what they said right there, because it's going to come back to haunt them later. Because when God begins to pour out His judgments on them, because they rebelled and refused to walk in God's ways, when they hardened their hearts, when they refused to obey God and refused to walk in those old paths, and God brought His judgments on them, when God brought His judgments, they then were ready to walk in His ways. The Scripture says this, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. When God begins to pour out His judgment, guess what the people of God are always ready to do? We're ready to do whatever God says. You'll see in America, you will see a day come when God brings His judgment and this whole land will fall on her knees and say, we will do whatever God says. But it, like for Israel, it will be too late and God will have pronounced judgment and God will carry out His judgment. And so it is, brethren, that you and I need to understand there's going to come a time when this whole nation will bow before our God and will say, we want to have your old ways now. And it'll be too late. There's a too late doctrine taught in the Word of God. It was too late for Israel right after this. It was too late. When they said, we will walk therein, they had signed their death certificate right there. You remember Hananiah? What did Jeremiah tell Hananiah because he kept prophesying falsely? He says, you're going to die. You know what happens to every child of God that goes against God's Word and God's way and will not walk in God's Word and God's way? They perish. They die. They cease to have fellowship with God. Verse 17 says, God says, also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. We refuse to do what God says. Listen now to verses 18 and 19. Verse 18 says, therefore, hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people. Now, who's going to do this, Jeremiah or God? God is. God says, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts. Do you hear the wording there? I'm going to bring evil upon this people, even the what? The fruit of their thoughts. Do you know what the fruit of their thoughts were? Do you know what that fruit was? It was evil fruit. You know what their thoughts were? It's just like Genesis, it was evil thoughts. It's just like Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 when God sent the flood, and every imagination of the thoughts of man were only evil continually. That was the condition that existed here among the people of God, and the fruit of their thoughts. They were going to be judged because of that, because they have not hearkened unto my words nor to my law, but rejected it. Did you know every one of you are bringing forth fruit? I'm bringing forth fruit in my life. You're bringing forth fruit. All of us are bringing forth fruit. We're either bringing forth fruit that God is pleased with, or else we're bringing forth evil fruit. The fruit of our thoughts will either be displeasing to God or pleasing to God. The fruit of our words will either be pleasing to God or displeasing to God. The fruit of our actions, the deeds that we do, they will either be pleasing to God or displeasing to God. And God is going to judge my thoughts. God's going to judge my words. And God's going to judge my actions. That's true of every child of God. You will experience the judgment of God in this world for your thoughts, your words, and your actions. That fruit needs to be good fruit. God says, I'm going to bring sorrow, I'm going to bring judgment on Israel, my people that I chose, my people that I delivered out of Egyptian bondage, my people that I guided, my people that I brought into the land of Canaan, my people that I fed with manna from heaven, my people that I have sent prophets to them. I have sent godly prophets. But they would not listen to my prophets, but they heard the false prophets, and they obeyed the false prophets. So God says, now I'm going to bring evil upon this people. Go with me now to Jeremiah chapter 10. I want you to remember three things that as I read through the book of Jeremiah this week, there are three things that stood out in my mind to me. One was Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, and I'm saying to all of you, these are three things I want you to hear God saying to you. Jeremiah 6:16 is ask for the old paths. If you want to be spared from the judgments of God, ask for the old paths and walk therein. That's the first one. Second one is in Jeremiah chapter 10. Look at Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Jeremiah chapter 10, hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. I want to remind you, this is God speaking to his people. This is not God talking to the whole world. This is God speaking to his people, specifically to the nation of Israel, which is representative of the people of God that are chosen and redeemed by God. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Here's the word now. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. Now what was the first one from Jeremiah 6:16 that I want you to remember? Ask for the old paths and what? And walk therein. Now here's the second one. These are commands that Jeremiah, the true prophet, is giving. The second one is, learn not the way of the heathen. Now, let me tell you something, brethren. We have learned the way of the heathen. It doesn't matter whether you go through this particular passage. I encourage you to go home and read verses 1 through 10. I'm not going to read them. You wouldn't believe me if I told you what they said. I've read them to you. I've preached it. I've talked to you about it. You can go ahead and have your heathen ways if you want to. They're heathen ways. And we have learned the way of the heathen. We've adopted it. The heathen ways are part of our lives. You go home and read Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. And you can pretend, oh, this is not the same. I'll tell you, you can ask any 6-year-old to read it, and they'll tell you what it's talking about. You can ask a 10-year-old to read it, they'll tell you what it's talking about. But you can ask a lot of false prophets, and they'll say it's not talking about that at all. I'm telling you, brethren, it doesn't matter whether you talk about Christmas or whether you talk about Easter or whether you talk about other things. We have learned the way of the heathen. You can't tell the difference in most of our homes and heathen homes. You can't tell the difference in what's looked at on television and what's looked at on the internet and the games that the children are playing. You can't tell the difference. You know why? We have learned the way of the heathen. You can't tell the difference the way most Christians dress and the way the world dresses. Do you know why? Because we have learned the way of the heathen. Let me tell you something. When your children say, everybody else is doing it, you need to immediately say, well, then you will not. Because if everybody else is doing it, if the world is doing it, that's the way of the heathen. The world, the heathen is not going to do things God's way. So if everybody else is doing it, brethren, that ought to seal it up right there. If those words ever come out of the mouths of your children, everybody else is doing it, you need to say, oh, that's it. That's it. That's it. That's the way of the heathen. That's the way the world goes. That's the broad way. If everybody, many there be which go in thereat. That's the broad way. And what does God say to his people, Israel? He says, ask for the old paths and walk in them. Well, second thing he says here, don't learn the way of the heathen. If you've learned the way of the heathen, then you fall on your knees and say, God, help us to get away from the way of the heathen in every aspect of our lives. Be not conformed to this world. And do you know what's our problem primarily? We are conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. There ought to be a major difference in our lives. Did you know a real Christian will stand out? They'll stick out. They'll be so different. A real faithful disciple of Christ will look so different that everybody will know that. Ask for the old paths. Learn not the way of the heathen. Now turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 13. Here's the third thing, and there are a lot of other things Jeremiah told them, but these are the three things I want us to remember primarily that Jeremiah told the people of God. In Jeremiah chapter 13, starting in verse 15, Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 15, the word of God says, hear ye and give ear. Be not proud. Be not, that's simple, isn't it? Be not, three words, be not proud. Do you know one of the biggest problems in America today is we're a proud nation? Do you know one of the biggest problems of churches is we are proud churches? You know, one of the biggest problems of families is we are proud families. Pride goeth before destruction. You know what happened to the nation of Israel? They fell. They were destroyed. You know why? One of the three reasons that we're looking at is they were proud. God says to them now in Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 15, hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he calls darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while ye look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. But if ye will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. And mine eye shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Carried away captive by what? What's the five-letter word they're carried away by? They're carried away by pride. Do you know anybody that has a problem with pride? Do you know anybody that has a problem with pride? What does God say? Just three words. Be not proud. And what are the three things, and there are a lot of other things God said to his people through Jeremiah. One was, ask for the old paths and walk therein. Second one was, learn not the way of the heathen. And the third one was, be not proud. I want to encourage you, I want to beg you, I want to exhort you in the name of Jesus Christ that those three things be very, very important in your mind and in your soul and your life, that you'll do those three things. Because that's the beginning of you returning unto the Lord. That's the beginning of you stopping the backsliding and going forward in your service to God. Now go with me to Jeremiah chapter 38. Jeremiah, how do you think the people received all these words that Jeremiah was saying to them about you've learned the way of the heathen? How do people respond today when you talk about how they've learned the way of the heathen? The book that was written by, was it Norman Vincent Peale, How to Win Friends and Influence People? There are some good things in that book, but I'm telling you this, brethren, If your goal in life is to win friends and influence people, you cannot preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't preach. Jeremiah did not win friends. Jeremiah did not have a lot of people who loved him, but God loved him, and God manifested his love for him. And when Hananiah stood against Jeremiah, God told Hananiah through Jeremiah, you're going to die. But then what did the people want to do to Jeremiah? What did the people want to do to Jeremiah? What did the people do to Stephen in Acts 7? And it's the same reason. What did the people do to Jesus? What did the people do to all of the apostles? They killed them all. And it wasn't because they were preaching the doctrines of election and predestination and salvation by grace. It was because they were confronting the people with sin in their lives. You know what the message of all of them was? Repent! For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Do you know why? John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, the 12 apostles and the 70 disciples, and every preacher in the New Testament. Do you know why every one of them were telling the people to repent? Because that's been the message that God has been giving his people ever since they began to sin, all the way back in the Garden of Eden, is to repent. And did you know people do not like to hear that message that God sends to his people? Repent. Repent. So Jeremiah is basically an enemy to many of the people. They hate Jeremiah. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 38. Let's see what the people do to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 38. I just want to just read maybe three verses here. I encourage you to go home and read Jeremiah 38. Read about what all he went through. Jeremiah 38, starting with verse 4. I'll read verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 38 and verse 4. The word of God says, therefore the princes, this is the princes of King Zedekiah, they're going to rise up against Jeremiah. Do you know why those princes hated Jeremiah? Because he told them they were doing wrong. And so they hated him and they wanted to kill him. Therefore the princes said unto the king, that's the princes of King Zedekiah, they said to Zedekiah, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death. You remember what Ahab said to, you remember Ahab and Jezebel? You remember Ahab and Jezebel? Do you remember what Ahab said when he saw Elijah, the prophet of God? He said, art thou he that troubleth Israel? You're creating turmoil and confusion. That's the way Jeremiah was. That's the reason they hated him. We beseech thee, let this man be put to death. They hated Jeremiah. For thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in the city, and the hands of all the people in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. That was a lie. They said, Jeremiah seeketh the hurt of this people, and not the welfare. Brethren, Jeremiah was after the welfare of those people. Jeremiah is the one that really cared about the people. Jeremiah was the one who loved them so much that he refused to be quiet. He could not be quiet. He couldn't let them go down a path that led to a cliff of destruction without crying and speaking out. And so he spoke out. And he was hated. So they said, let's kill the man. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. Verse 6, Jeremiah 38, verse 6. Then took they Jeremiah, the king agreed to let them do whatever they wanted to. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamalek, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. He was let down into the mire. I want you to get the picture. I want you to see muck. Have any of you ever been into the swamp and seen muck in the swamp? Stinking muck that you step in and there's no, I mean, there's water there. Sure, if you squeezed it out, but you don't see any water. It's muck. That's what mire is. And Jeremiah was let down into this dark dungeon. There was no water down there for him, and he was up in the mire. His body was just down in that muck. Looks like Jeremiah is going to be killed. And if he had been killed, he fulfilled his purpose. He did what he could as long as he could. But they couldn't take his life because God wasn't through with him yet. God was going to have him speak some more words of harshness to him. And so guess what God did? God began to touch the heart of someone who went to the king in behalf of Jeremiah and said, let's get him out of that mire. Come down to verse 10, Jeremiah 38, verse 10. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech and the Ethiopian, saying, take from hence 30 men with thee. You know why it took 30 men to get Jeremiah up out of that mire? It was like quicksand. He was stuck down in that mire. Take 30 men with thee and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. You know why? God intervened. God intervened. See, God ended the life of Hananiah, didn't he? And God spared the life of Jeremiah. There have been many times in the saints' lives of faithful men of God where they've almost died and God delivered them. All through the pages of Scripture, Jesus Christ, how many times did they have him surrounded and they thought this is it and he was gone and they couldn't take him? Until his appointed hour came, they could not take him. Until Jeremiah's appointed time came, they could not kill him. And if you're a faithful servant of God, it doesn't matter what people desire to do. It doesn't matter what the devil wants to do. Until God says, it's enough, come home, the devil and all of his angels can't kill. Not through sickness, not through people, not through any other way. Until God says, come home. So Jeremiah, and you go home and read. I love to read about how they lifted him up out of that pit. Wonderful, wonderful day in the life of Jeremiah. Go with me in closing to the New Testament just a moment. Go to Galatians chapter 4. Listen, please, to verses 13 through 16. I wish you would go home and read the rest of Jeremiah. Read everything it tells you about Jeremiah. Wonderful man of God. And then in Galatians chapter 4, we read about the Apostle Paul, who lived a life very similar to Jeremiah. Hated and despised, but he was telling the people what the truth was. He had been to the saints at Galatia, and they loved him so much. He told them about Jesus and how Jesus had saved them from their sins, and they believed the truth that Jesus had saved them. And they were so happy, and they loved Paul so much because he had told them about the amazing grace of God in sending his only begotten son to die for them. And they loved Paul because he had told them those sweet things about salvation by grace. And it was just a wonderful fellowship. And then Paul told them what was wrong in their lives. And everything changed. Galatians 4 verse 13, the Apostle Paul writes to them. He says, ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. That is, way back there, I already had this infirmity of the flesh. You can believe what you want to. I think Paul had such major vision problems, and you'll see this, I think, as you go along. Did you know one time I saw a preacher, his name is David, and he had an eye vision problem that he had to hold the Bible right up to his face and turned it sideways. He didn't read it like this. His eyes were such that he read like that. Now, that's a major vision problem. Did you know it? I was with the man a number of times. It's been 40 years since I've seen him. But that man could preach the word. And did you know, to begin with, there were a lot of people that loved that man. They marveled at the miracle of him being able to read. They marveled at the beauty of what he would preach. But after he would get to know them and he would begin to preach the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, and tell them things that were wrong in their lives, guess what? You know, I don't think we need Brother David here anymore. I think we need to get a different preacher, one that doesn't have to hold the Bible up there. You know, that's very distracting. We have visitors that come, and it's embarrassing to see him sit there and hold that Bible like that. And so Brother David would only be at one church and then another, just move from pillar to post. The Apostle Paul says, I came to you with an infirmity in the flesh. And verse 14 says, and my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel from God, even as Christ Jesus. Verse 15 says, where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your eyes, your own eyes, and given them to me. Now, was that a tremendous amount of love? But Paul says, you loved me so much, you would have given me your eyes. And then he says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Do you hear the pain that's in Paul's heart when he's writing to these people? And says, you know, you loved me so much, you would have taken your eyes out for me. And now you hate me. Now you look at me as your enemy. And the reason you look at me as your enemy is because I'm just telling you the truth. And you don't like the truth. Brethren, we need to pray that God will help us when we are confronted by someone with sin in our lives, that God will help us to ask for the old paths. That God will help us to learn not the way of the heathen. That God will help us not to be proud. God will help us to receive instruction and to repent and to turn from our wicked ways, because then God will bless us. May God help us to be faithful servants like Jeremiah, like Paul, above all else. May God help us to be faithful like Jesus, is my prayer for Christ's sake.